Welcome to the April issue of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Our guest today is Mr. Mark Rober, Delta County District 3 Commissioner. Thank you, Mark, for taking the time to come into KVNF to talk to our listeners.
Well, thank you, Felix, for having me. Always enjoy it.
Let me start with the Delta County Master Plan. At a March 21st meeting, the Delta County Planning Commission reviewed a draft of the proposed updates to the 89-page plan prior to its being submitted to the community for input. In general, can you tell us what changes are being considered and why are they deemed necessary?
Well, I don't know that there's a lot in the way of changes. Any plan after so many years kind of needs to be looked at and updated and to see if it still fits what it was intended to do, and that's what the master plan's trying to do. So as far as any changes, I don't really know. And in reality, it's the Planning Commission's document, not mine. It's been 22
really?
Years since the last plan was written, so it was time to look at it.
I'm sure, yeah, in that time. How old, do you know, when did this thing of a master plan start? Do you have any recollection?
I think it started in the 90s for most of Colorado anyway. I worked on the original, or the 96 version. I worked on an ad hoc task force that the commissioners put together on that one in 94, 95, somewhere in there. So, and as far as I know, that was the first one this county had. So I think it just kind of became a tool that started being used in the 90s, I believe.
Now, is this a common procedure throughout the state in counties?
Yes, I mean, yes. I think.
Or is it mandated by state law or?
I don't know whether it's mandated, but it's a BMP, a best management practice.
Yeah.
Is basically what I would think how it probably termed best. I don't know that it's mandated, but I know just everybody does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's more of a visioning statement as much as anything else.
The Planning Commission is composed of members from all areas of Delta County. At a March 5th meeting of the County Commissioners, you all made two appointments. When the Planning Commission met on March 7th, some North Fork residents attending the meeting claimed that the Paonia area had lost representation on the commission. Is it true? And if so, what happened? Apparently there's some people that are disturbed about this.
Well, back in July last year, it was brought to our attention that the representation on the commission was not equaled out by Commissioner District. And Commissioner Supas kind of pushed the point that he thought that it probably should be equal representation from each district. And Commissioner Ashley and myself agreed with him that it probably should be. So at that time, we pushed the idea of going to a 9-member board and having 3 members from each commissioner district. And then the way it was left was that it would just happen, we wouldn't kick anybody off, but as terms came up, we would even it out. And that's basically what happened. It just so happened that the representative from the North Fork planning area was the one whose term came up. And so she was the one that didn't get reappointed. But there was no intentional slight of the North Fork. And I really don't know. When the planning areas were set up, I don't really know how they drew the lines, if you want to know the truth. It's kind of funny when you talk to people, what is North Fork, what is Hotchkiss, you know? So it's a little open to interpretation.
Now, I believe there's five planning committees.
There's five planning areas, yeah.
Areas.
Yeah.
And
basically, and that came about, I was on, like I said, I was on that task force, and what the commissioners at that time were kind of looking towards was land use. And when we went around with the master plan to all the different communities, we kind of decided that there was so much variation in the communities that maybe they ought to have their own, each community have their own. And that's how the planning areas kind of got started. In the what was supposed to follow up with that is each community was kind of supposed to come up with land use codes, and that never did happen. So we're kind of stuck where we were in 1996.
Yeah. But and of course that that whole thing up in, what was it, that chicken thing kind of
became so absorbing for everybody involved that everything kind of got put on hold. They were starting to look at drafting a new master plan before that came about. And then because when that came about, it just kind of got shoved on the shelf and then just got brought back out last year.
But I'm very new at this, right? I mean, I shouldn't say I'm new at it, but I've been around here. I know how things work in the radio station, but I don't know how you all work. What the Planning Commission does not have legal effect, I take it.
No,
I mean, you can't.
The commissioners are still the land use authority.
You are the authority. You're the law.
Yeah, we make the final decision on any land use term. But the commission is an advisory committee.
It's an advisory.
That takes information and advises us.
I take it the commission can't go out and, say, arrest somebody or something like that. They don't have actual legal authority.
No, and they really can't turn down any type of land use application. They can vote it down, but it's still up to the commissioners to make the final decision.
They can't sick the sheriff on somebody.
Right. That's right.
To put it very crudely.
Yeah.
If you happen to join us a few minutes after the beginning of the program, this is the April Delta County Commissioner's Report, and 3rd District Commissioner Mr. Mark Rober is our guest today. To quote the March 28th edition of the Delta County Independent, quote, "Western Colorado is facing an epic low water year due to a relatively warm, dry winter. It looks like we'll have a real drought this spring and summer. Will the Board of County Commissioners be directly involved in this situation in any way? Is there..."
Well, we'll.
I'm not asking you. Can you make it rain or snow?
We'll pass a resolution on that.
Right.
No, you know, we'll be involved mainly having to do with. I'm just guessing that somewhere along the line, if it stays this dry, we're going to have fire bans and that type of action, and we'll make that decision.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual drought, you know, this area has gone through drought before, and I don't think we've ever gotten to a point where drinking water or something like that, you know, wasn't there. Our emergency manager, you know, would be involved in that and prepared for that if that came about, and that, you know, the commissioners could get involved in, but for the most part, our water laws are fairly pretty much separate from our county laws. So the water engineers from the state would decide if some city started running out of water, then they would probably, by eminent domain, take somebody else.
Water laws are primarily state laws?
They are state laws, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, the water engineer is who makes a lot of those decisions.
So you're saying the county commissioner can't really make it snow or rain.
I'm trying to figure out how.
I'm sure you are.
We're investigating.
Yeah. You'd be a real hero, wouldn't you? You'd go down.
Probably be sought after in other places.
Yeah, if you could make it rain or snow right now. How true it is. Mark, let me ask you this, and I wish you could comment in perhaps some length or depth about it, but what, in your opinion, are the, say, one or two most pressing problems, shall I say problems or situations facing the commissioners regarding the county at the present time, where I'm asking you to sort of, I don't know, look into the cloud, so to speak, a little bit, and tell us. And I don't mean by that it has to be a negative thing. Maybe it's a positive thing. What are the one or two things that you all would like to be able to accomplish? Or something to overcome to move us along, and so on. Mm-hmm. Just talk about that.
Well, I think we're kind of picking up by the bootstraps and slowly recovering from the mine closures. We've still got a ways to go.
Obviously, that's been the big thing in the last couple of years.
It has been the big thing, and I mean, our economy has suffered, but we're starting to see a little uptick, and hopefully we can keep encouraging that. And part of that, you know, is really kind of the basis for looking at some of our land use and some of those type of things, because it's hard to get businesses attracted here because they don't have certainty of where they can be. And that's why I personally think we probably need to look at our land use codes and have, you know, if somebody wants to locate here, it's a beautiful place, a lot of opportunity, but they need a certainty of whether they can be here. And with some of the things that have happened the last several years, it's just not there. And our specific development code is it's a mess because it requires them to spend a lot of money up front and still not have a decision that may not be to their benefit. So I think that's one of the things, you know, this board is kind of looking at is how can we make this more attractive to try and get some businesses and jobs in here. And at the same time, you know, agriculture is still the backbone of the county, and that's what creates a lot of the beauty that everybody's used to. And we have to figure out how we can have a little better everything and protect our ag and protect a way of life. And so that's, you know, that's one of the major challenges that I see is trying to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Since the mine closing, we haven't had a formal census. There's one coming up.
Be one in 2020.
In 2020, 2 years from now yet. But to your knowledge, after the mine closure, were there a lot of people actually physically leaving the county as the population significantly changed
in any
way?
In 2014, we led the state in departures.
Oh.
We had a 4% decrease. And that was the top in the state of Colorado. But, you know, it's leveled off and kind of went the other way. We're seeing some growth now. We're seeing quite a few people moving in. And I don't know, the last I think I heard, our census is pretty much the same as it was in 2010. But there initially we did have a pretty good decrease. And, of course, the schools felt it probably the worst. And but they've kind of had an uptick too. So like I say, we're kind of on the rebound. It's taken us a couple extra years, but...
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. You know?
And, of course, this has a direct influence on the revenue of the county, particularly in sales tax. The county commissioners have been extremely conservative on their budget and so on.
And we continue to be that way. But the sales tax for the past year, you know, we saw a modest increase. And that kind of surprised the commissioners. Yeah. We had a budget of zero. That's kind of what we figured. If we just stayed flat, we were probably doing well. But it's had a... 2% increase, something like that, 3%. So it's done better than we expected. But I think part of that is just the general economy. The whole country seems to be a little bit on the uptake. So people are spending a little more and feel a little bit more comfortable in doing so, I think. But it's kind of hard to figure that out. Hard to figure consumers out.
Yeah, sure. We haven't had a formal census and so on. But not to get into details of your budget, but is the sales tax one of the main items of revenue?
Not
for the county.
No, it is for most of the municipalities. But it's not the main driver of the county revenues.
The main driver.
More
property taxes.
Property taxes are more for the schools in the county. Property taxes are more than sales tax. And of course, that's got us a little worried too with what happened with the Gallagher Amendment and the assessment dropping to 7.2 on residential housing for this year. And the prediction is when they reassess again next year and then for the tax year 2020, they're talking like it's going to drop to 6.2. So it's going to continue to ratchet down because of the Gallagher Amendment, and it's got a lot of people wondering, not just county government, but all your special districts, anybody that depends on a mill levy, it's got them wondering, what are we going to draw revenues from?
Explain the Gallagher Amendment just a little bit more, will you? May not know.
The Gallagher Amendment was passed in 1982 or 84 or something like that. And at the time of passage, the tax rate on residential house was 21%. And it takes into account growth and the other part of the commercial tax, and it ratchets it down. And it was down to 7.9, something like that, a little under 8% about 10 years ago. And it kind of maintained there for almost 8 or 9 years. And actually, the assessor told me that it probably should have went up during some of that time, but the legislature didn't allow it to. But then because of we had the Front Range was experiencing so much growth and commercial properties weren't experiencing that growth, it ratcheted down again, and that's what's happening now. And the fast-growing counties aren't really feeling the effect because they've got more houses to make up the difference. Slow-growing counties, and especially rural, are feeling the effects of it because it's taken money that they did have away, basically. So it's an odd amendment. Colorado is kind of unique with Tabor and Gallagher, and the two of them working kind of together. And it presents some real challenges to local government.
You read all the time about the shortage of housing and how prices have escalated around Denver and the Eastern Slope and so on. Have we experienced anything quite like that here, or, to your knowledge?
I know there's people that tell me that there's a shortage of rentals. And I know the hospital rentals for substitute doctors and traveling nurses, they have trouble finding them in the Delta area. So I know there is a demand out there for rentals, somewhat for affordable housing, but we are not at the scale of some of our neighboring counties. Most of the resort counties are really feeling a crunch with affordable housing because their housing costs have gone skyrocketed. And I hear Gunnison County talk about, you know, they've got a list of jobs that they can't fill because nobody can find a place to live. So I don't think we're at that point, but it could be coming to that point. But we have, going along with that, you can kind of get into your land use codes, and, you know, we're pretty wide open about building. So as opposed to the other counties that have more restrictions and are almost based on zero growth, they're the ones that are really feeling the crunch of affordable housing. So it's kind of a mixed bag, and to find that sweet spot is, I think it's something to, it's challenging.
I'll ask you this question. I ask each commissioner, I think every program we do, primarily because it amazes me so. Is Delta County still essentially debt-free the way it has been for so long?
Still is. Still Which, is. We have not, went and signed any promissory notes or taken out any loans.
So does that mean that you don't have outstanding bond issues that you have to service and
no.
so on?
No, we have basically the only debt that we have serviced the whole time since I've been on the board has been for a piece of
road equipment or something.
It was actually for the landfill.
For the landfill.
It was a compactor for the landfill.
Yeah, a compactor for the landfill. Yeah. And you bought that and you had some payments to make.
We bought that on time, and that's basically the only thing we've done.
I just laugh because we've talked about it ever since you bought the thing, you know.
But it's paid off now.
It is paid off.
It's paid off.
Well, congratulations. But I, all joking aside, I always marvel at this because you read about the tremendous debt liabilities that some, and I'm not just talking Colorado, I'm talking almost anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And some true bigger. Bigger entities than us have tremendous pension liabilities, for instance, mm-hmm. and so on. Does Delta County have a pension plan?
There is a pension plan through it's actually through the county pool of the state.
There's a county pool.
Yeah.
It's you're not standing by yourself.
No, we don't stand by ourselves. Or not that I'm aware of, anyway. There may have been. At one time, and maybe we're still paying on some of those, but but as far as I know, we don't stand by ourselves. But it's through there's a retirement plan through the county pool of the state.
Yeah. Well, I still think that being debt free is a remarkable, a remarkable situation overall, and it must give you some comfort, even though.
Well, it does, and we take quite a bit of pride in that, and it's challenging, and you know I kind of feel like sometimes you're looked down upon for saying no a lot of the time, but that's kind of the job as it is. If you're going to stay financially solvent.
Sure. Who can criticize being financially solvent? No, you hear about, I think, Detroit or there's some cities that are completely, of course, they're much bigger than we are, but they're just in a disaster mode almost financially.
Yeah. And you kind of have to weigh out goods and services that you supply to the public. And I mean, we take a pretty sharp pencil to budget time, and like I say, we aren't popular sometimes because we do say no. But you know, I've grown up that way. You know, being on a ranch, there's a lot of things I'd love to have, but I never could quite figure out how to pay for them. So it's kind of second nature to me.
Sure. Well, we've been talking today to Mr. Mark Rober, the District 3 Commissioner, and I should know this, but I don't. Where do you stand vis-a-vis, are you term limited or you have?
I am. I'm a lame ducker now. I'll be done in 2020.
That's 2 years. You can do a lot for us in 2 years before you have to leave. But are there any other people that are after your job yet, or is it too early to tell?
Well, I'm sure there are. They're probably lining up right and left, but probably a few of them that want it before I'm done.
Right. Well, we want to thank you, Mark, for coming in today, and we've been speaking today with Mr. Mark Rober, District 3 Delta County Commissioner, and thank you again. And for KVNF, I'm Felix Beaumont.